So I thought, with me being on the road, it would be entertaining to take the shortcut that every lazy blogger who still cares does and have a podcast, a short impromptu podcast. Joining me right now, I am Spencer Hall, by the way, formerly known as Orson Swindle of Every Day Should Be Saturday and editorial director of SBNation.com. Breathe. It's a long-ass title. But joining me is Jason Kirk, college football editor for SB Nation. Sup, Jason?
All right, what's up, y'all?
He is in beautiful. I think you are in
sunny Cobb County.
Oh, you in Cobb, son? You moved up in the world.
Yeah, it's real safe here.
It's very safe, if you know what I mean. Also from Brooklyn, New York, we have the force known as Celebrity Hot Tub.
Hello.
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 I was going to ask you, by the way, this that that about Brett Bielema. Let,
Yeah.
let's talk about Beals, baby.
It's about time.
He's, he's not an attention seeker, so it's up to us to go out there and beat the drum for him.
He's not, he's just sitting back casually saying things like that he has a better record than Nick Saban in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's factually true. It's not a Rose Bowl statistic, fortunately. He's got that going for him. Yeah, I don't really get why that's supposed to be super impressive to anybody because, Brett Bielema, it's good for you that you beat up on the Ron Zooks of the world, and
Oh,
I don't,
the Bill Lynches. Don't forget, he scored 80 on Bill Lynch.
he did hang, man, he's just mean. No, it just sort of seems like showing up to your first day of work and telling everybody, well, I fucking kicked ass in that fourth grade spelling bee. I was the
I
best.
kind of think he's the guy with two monitors. The Onion had an article. It was like, guy with two monitors is not fucking around, right? Like, that's what Bielema is, man. He's making a statement. He also made a joke about Petrino, basically saying that on April 1st, he's like, oh, I'm only riding in my car today. To which I thought, like, you can't cheat in a car. Like, Brett Bielema, infidelity does not just rely on the motorcycle, dang it. You could get into an embarrassing accident with your mistress in a car. That's theoretically possible, Jason Kirk, I guess.
I think Bielema was more of a van man. Any basic analysis, I think he's got like not even a tricked out van, just a pretty basic van. The things that man can do with an Aerostar would scandalize the entire region. That's when we know, when he says hitting the road on the van, that's when it's time to guard your babies.
I bet he has an airport shuttle and he just shows up to local airports as if he, works for the local Hilton, looks for some lost-looking 40-year-old woman. Oh, I'll take you to the hotel. That woman's not getting to her destination.
Yeah, and you know what that's called? Recruiting.
That's true. And by the way, I'm sure that as he's waiting at that airport shuttle for the lonesome 40-year-old something, occasionally he probably gets cut off by Dana Holgerson in a Jeep.
Oh yeah, because speed wins. I just wonder if Saban's going to retort by pointing out that Bielema has never coached in the MAC.
It's true. Do you know the passions and ardor it takes to thrive in the MAC? Nick Saban does.
I mean, Nick Saban's been all over the map in the MAC. You got Toledo and Kent State. I mean, how every other school is in one of those two cities, right? So
Let's
he's
see.
pretty much got it covered.
Let's see if you can go barely above 500 in the AFC, Brett Bielema.
It's really troubling because Brett Bielema is displaying the sort of blind, stupid confidence that leads a person to get an Iowa tattoo. And so
Or the other way around, perhaps.
Right.
That keep in mind, that's a lot of certainty to put on your calf.
Yeah.
Because you could hide the back piece. Like, I think we've had this discussion before. Mr. Hot Tub about which coaches would have the biggest, scariest back pieces.
Oh, right. Red Dragon style.
Right. Like the kind where it sort of surpasses a mere lifestyle choice and goes into some kind of grand indication of psychosis. You've decided it's Randy Edsall with the big, scary snake tattoos all over his body.
Yeah, and I think that's why he prefers sort of cold weather climates. Doesn't have to ask any questions and, you know, finishes losing a game 17 to, I don't know, let's say 6, goes right into that locker room and strips down naked.
It could be the kind of thing that leads a school to signing with Under Armour, too. They like, you know, they like really weird designs.
Sure.
I'd also wonder whether maybe he displayed some of that artwork in Pahokee and offended some locals, and that led to the made up death-defying 911 escape that apparently never happened.
Yeah, that, by the way, that's something we can, if you made it this far in the podcast, we'll go ahead and give you the bonus of inside information that Maryland's really bent with us over writing up that his near-death experience didn't happen, saying that Randy Edsall was joking about near-death. Sir, a few points. One does not joke about near-death in Florida. It's either near-death or it isn't. There is no joking. It is entirely too possible, particularly in the western part of Palm Beach County.
1B, Randy Edsall is always near death.
That's true. when you live that dangerously, when you rely on defense and a passing game ripped from a high school quarterback's manual, you're always close to death. That it's not our fault if you suck. It's just not. That's here's the thing. You suck. You're terrible. It's a very bad football program at this point. And it's not our fault. You're getting mad at us for nothing, because you have nothing to forget.
And that part about you having nothing to offer the world, that part is not a joke. Like, we were joking about, you know, Randy Edsall, but we're not joking about the worthlessness that is your athletic department. That is from the heart.
You mean worthless in a financial sense as well, because
literally.
No. Not financially. Not anymore, because they've proved themselves to good man Jim Delaney, manager of the books.
That's true. And I guess negative is a worth.
Negative, it is a value.
Right.
It is a valuation. Consider this, though, that they are also the athletic department that presumably has to send this from Jim Delaney's computer because they are broke and shacking up with him.
Right.
Do you think it's possible that they don't have the Big Ten contract because it doesn't exist and they've made it up, like that recruit who claimed he had offers from several schools years ago, just hoping everybody would go along with it?
And when Jim Delaney's going along with it sort of as an experiment?
Oh, just out of politeness. Jim Delaney,
right,
would
Midwestern.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is what a pickle we've got here. Oh,
right.
My goodness, they didn't even RSVP. Oh,
it's why you can't kidnap Jim Delaney, because kidnapping requires somebody to resist being taken to a location. And Jim Delaney wouldn't do that. It'd be uncivilized.
Jim Delaney has a particular set of skills which he will withhold for your benefit.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was that of some note is that Tennessee is rebuilding under Butch Jones, and I think Tennessee has been the recipient of the most anodyne "spring is here, we've rejuvenated, we're rebuilding, we are." Help me go through the cliches, if we will, Jason. They're conditioned like never before,
right? Granted, the new defense, we're tuned up, we're attacking, we're not going to read and react anymore, we're flying around, we're seeing things, we got each other's backs out there, we're buying in, recruiting is taking off, coach is being more aggressive on the recruiting trail, we're getting more early offers out there, the energy around campus is like it's never been before. If John Gruden sets foot on here, we'll hire him in a sec. I mean, we're just in love with Coach Jones.
Just in love with Coach Jones.
I have a question, Jason. Is the offense going to be multiple?
It's going to be multiple. We're going to get more aggressive. We're going to get athletes in space, and we're just going to let these kids do what they do best. We're going to cut down on the number of the time they spend thinking, and dial up the time they spend doing. It's just simple. Football is real easy. People make it hard. It's real easy. All you do is you tell these kids to win.
He's terrifyingly good at that.
Yeah. I think he actually just got the USC job next year.
All right.
I would also say this, too, that the other story of note, we have two that I want to mention in this brief discussion. The first is that Florida Atlantic had to decline Alcatraz, the $6 million donation from the for-profit prison corporation. The for-profit prison corporation.
Yeah, prison for-profit prison.
Yes, for-profit prison.
Well, look, not everybody can be in the prison business for love of the game.
That's true. I mean, and I think we all remember when, you know, Kansas State, their stadium was sponsored by Leavenworth, and nobody had a problem with that.
I also, Spencer, can you name four Florida-based companies that aren't in the prison industry?
Publix.
Debatable,
sir.
I never want to leave.
I spent 10 hard years in there.
If you know of a reason why Burrito Brothers shits isn't out of Florida that has something to do with Publix, I'd like to hear it. But
I was going to say Disney, but one, their corporate headquarters proper, I believe, is in Los Angeles and or Anaheim, and two, I'm not going to mark that off as not being a labor camp.
Yeah, it's actually, isn't it like technically an unincorporated city? Like it has some sort of special geographic distinction. Like it's actually a city. Like it might actually be its own country.
Basically, Orlando got Disney World by ceding rights, all of them, to Disney. They just gave them like some sort of tax-free fiefdom, just in perpetuity. So
mineral rights, space rights.
You have me. The only other corporation I know that's based in Florida is whatever Pitbull is. So that's the third.
He is actually a limited partnership.
Yeah, he is an LLC. And frankly, he could be a prison for bad times, for which they never escape and are reformed into not just good times, but real good times. So Florida
that's
Atlantic.
Heroic.
I know. Florida Atlantic has to turn this down, which is hilarity to me because $6 million is a lot of money to Florida Atlantic. That's a tremendous amount of money.
I don't know how accurate this is, but I think I saw somebody on the Twitter say, well, let me ask you, how many season ticket holders do you think canceled their order because of this proposed naming deal?
Seven.
Two.
The number I saw was one.
Good on you, sir.
That's great. Like one dude.
And I'm willing to bet he owns the rival private prison.
Yeah.
The rival private prison / organ farm.
Right. And the question would be how many season ticket holders did they have? Because that could be like 33%, which would be staggering.
Yeah, you got to look at you bringing up numbers, trying to confuse and confound the issue, Jason Kirk.
Typical obfuscating.
Typical Cobb County liberalism at work. That's what you're doing, introducing facts into this debate. Also, I was interested to hear what you gentlemen might think about the scouting report on Geno Smith, that Geno Smith what's this cockpack's name?
Nolan Nowrocki.
Nolan Nowrocki, who, by the way, he played the game. Did you play the game, son?
Did he play the – where did he play the game?
He played the game in Illinois.
I thought you said he played the game. Which game did he play?
He played the most dangerous game, which is Illinois football, where men really are hunted. Well, he his scouting report on Geno Smith was hilarious because it is as badly coded as you can get. This is the same scout who trashed Cam Newton's character, which I don't know. Cam Newton's so talented, he could honestly be an amoral slime bag, and it still might not be noticeable on the field in terms of how his teammates relate to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can acknowledge that Cam Newton is a jerk at least half the time. I don't think that someone who's never met him is qualified to make that distinction. I don't think anybody would make that claim about Geno Smith. It's just, you know, and I would assume this guy never met Geno as well.
Are there
shadows in the closet?
But he did.
Are there bodies?
Not a student of the game.
Right. I meant besides Mr. Nal Rocky.
Oh, okay. No. Here we go. But he did. And here it is. Not a student of the game. Nonchalant field presence. Does not command respect from teammates and cannot inspire. That's my favorite one.
What is the Roots named an album after it? It's this like theory from the 1700s. You can tell everything about a person by like the shape of their brain.
Phrenology?
Yeah. I think Nolan sort of goes by like the face. Because like Geno Smith does have this kind of dour face, and he's got like dark circles around his eyes, you know, and he kind of looks like a glum guy when he's not celebrating or competing.
He does. He looks kind of dour.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you could do that with a lot of players. Maybe you look at Tyler Bray and you say, you know, he's just really excitable because he's burned off all those calories.
Yeah.
Well, he listed Tyler Bray as California cool, did he not?
He did. He did. Huh. I would say this. If Tyler Bray is the definition of California cool, that means wearing hoodies, hitting up honeys on Facebook all day long, and getting your name tattooed in stars across your back.
No, that is California cool.
No, that's like Stockton cool. That's like, let's be more specific about this. That's like suburban Nevada cool. That's like Jesse Pinkman cool.
Is there a suburban Nevada?
There is.
You mean like a car? The suburban in Nevada?
The suburban Nevada. It's a minivan that has a whorehouse in the back.
Oh, okay.
But yes, here's the part that got him into some trouble, which is this. A cross between Akili Smith and Aaron Brooks.
Yeah.
And quarterbacks who did not run the same offense but do share the same skin tone.
And do also, by the way, pick up this, which is the marginal work ethic tag. Something which I know coaches have a real motivation, a powerful one, to say really good things about the players that they coached because that ends up on the resume. However, bystanders, reporters, the marginal work ethic thing, it is nothing remotely like Geno Smith. Bruce Feldman talking about how he stayed, you know, like as late as the janitors and passed to study film when he played at West Virginia. So basically what I'm saying is that this dude's racist.
I want to come to his defense here. There are so many players eligible for the draft. You can't look at all of them. You have to just guess.
Right. You got to take shortcuts.
It's the same way as teaching a room full of second graders. What am I going to learn about each one of them? No, I'm just going to, you know, some of them I'm just going to label as dumb, and I'm going to give up on them and move
right.
on.
Right. And you go by alphabetical order. You get to Barkley, you know, you spend all the flowing adjectives on that guy. By the time you're to Smith, all you've got left is he doesn't know how to read.
Oh, maybe Jason, you've hit on the secret of scouting, and it's really just using refrigerator magnet poetry.
Right.
And that's what happened here. Yeah, and it's just bad luck.
And I think it's like anything. You know, when you start, you're all fired up. I'm gonna crank out 1,000 words, and it's gonna be awesome. And by the time you get to Zephren Ziegler, the offensive guard from Baylor, you got nothing left for this guy. Maybe he's just short.
Maybe they just get more regressive. So that, like, if you get to, like, Zephren Ziegler, and he's, like, a large Jewish lineman, it's nothing but an anti-Semitic screed. Like, you're just the racist completely bereft of any, like, disguise is just basically putting the Chronicles of the Elders of Zion down as your profile.
Yeah, you're not even talking about the player.
Right, I think that's what would happen to Nolan Rocky if we just tied him to a chair and asked him to go A through Z through, like, 1,000 players. At the end, he would just be typing, like, stormfront.org tracks.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Nolan, you're racist.
Do you know who Nolan's quarterback was his senior year at Illinois?
Oh, my God. It's not
Was it that really racist quarterback?
Was it Kurt Kittner?
Kurt Kittner is right.
Wait. You're serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It takes me to a dark place. I watched him quarterback my NFL team, and I'm pretty sure I can throw a football farther than him. Guys, and I'm on the record saying that now.
I'm pretty sure somebody who played for Ron Turner knows how to scout and to evaluate talent. Why don't we back off?
I'm FIU coach Ron Turner.
Yep. He went to the Micron PC Bowl.
Hey, listen.
Have you been to the Micron? Well, you probably have.
Ron, did you play the game? If you played at Illinois, you played a game. We established that. Also, if you played for Ron Turner and Kurt Kittner was the quarterback, there's a good chance you were in the Sugar Bowl. I believe that was the year Illinois went to the Sugar Bowl. I will actually look this up, so I am not.
Oh, no. You've gone too far.
We've got a fact coming.
No. We have a fact coming. This happened. This is to show you that in life, the highway is so crowded that at one point you may have on one side a Bentley that is nearly totaled by a Chevy Aveo. And that's how this happens. The 2002 Nokia Sugar Bowl, where LSU prevailed over the Illinois Fighting Illini 47-34, quarterbacked by Rohan Davey. Rohan Davey, wow. The best 50-year-old Jamaican man to ever quarterback an SEC team. I feel safe saying that.
Maybe that's where the racist thing came from.
I can't believe that 50-year-old Jamaican man is whipping my ass.
All men who look like 50-year-old Jamaican men, which in Nolan's defense, Gino does look a little bit aged for a recent college student. He's got sort of a weathered face, so maybe it's just triggering memories.
I think I feel a lot more pity for Nolan Araki now, although I want you to also consider this. In discovering this, remembering this story of Ron Turner going 10-1 and actually getting to the Sugar Bowl, I also want to remind you that Nick Saban's defense gave up 34 points to a team coached by Ron Turner.
It's come full circle.
Well, it's going to happen again, too.
That's probably, which I should say this, LSU was up 34-7 at the half. So
Saban can't close.
He can't close. He just called him into the barn, and all of a sudden, boom, you put Ron Turner on the mat. He's going to get back up, make you bleed a little bit. That was Ron Turner's whole pitch to get the job, wasn't it? I'll make them bleed. I mean, we may not win, but they'll bleed.
That will be a mess to clean up.
Gentlemen, looking forward, do you have any off-season distractions? Mine has been BioShock Infinite. Speaking of racism, is a glorious meditation on America, race, power, religion, and why everybody needs to have a hook implanted in their arm so they can brain opponents. Ryan?
I have been revisiting educational television classic The Voyage of the Mimi, starring a very young, in his, I believe, his theatrical debut, Ben Affleck. I'm not even kidding about that. That's what I've been doing. So.
Jason?
Now, two things. On the video game tip, I have been playing that new Tomb Raider whenever the weekends come around. I haven't bought it. What I do is I go to Redbox and I rent it for a day. So by the end, you know, by the time I beat it, it'll only have cost me about $300. It's really good. I'd never played any of those games before, but it sort of feels like a Batman Begins kind of reintroduction of this series that I had no awareness of. So I'm sure the old ones were terrible. And also I think I'm going to get into David Blaine. I was just walking around the house and somebody had a TV on and David Blaine was on it, and he was in Memphis doing card tricks for Memphis people, like really, really Memphis people. Uh-huh. Like this one dude had an amazing beard that had like six hairs in it, but somehow was down to his chest. And like this girl had a parakeet on her shoulder, and she wasn't even like a character in the trick or anything. It was just, there's a girl with a parakeet on her shoulder, and he's like showing these stunned yokels card tricks and like putting his hand on their hearts, and like it's something, man. I'm probably gonna watch a little bit more of David Blaine.
Do you know what David Blaine is? A student of the game.
Yeah,
he is.
Exactly.
It's also, per Big Boy, a really improbable sexual move.
Yeah.
Called the David Blaine, which I will say this, I think David Blaine could pull it off. I believe David Blaine could do anything, including conducting magic in the streets of Memphis without being abducted and or married by the end of the day.
I can't confirm that didn't happen.